We almost finished the lesson. It was part six, role of parents, part one. And we looked through it. We talked about husbands, wives, children's parents. We talked about the father's relationship and how important it is and all those different aspects. And we got to the very end. We even talked about don't provoke your children to anger. And we said there were three, there were unreasonable demands that we put on them. And then that took us to the last page. This is where we should be, which is the applications. So I just want to give those to you. I'm not going to put them on an overhead or anything. Let me give you those applications. Here's number one. The number one application to that is, as parents, may we view our children as gifts from God. This is the applications on the lesson that we had last week. As parents, let's view our children as gifts from God. Now, I mentioned that this morning when we did the baby dedication, we had these parents there and these beautiful little children, and that's how we have to look at them. An A says that they are unique and special. They are unique and special. If you want to write down Psalm 139, that they're uniquely made. It's incredible. And then B is that's been entrusted to us by God. Now, the older you are, the more this statement rings true, and that is, time goes by really fast. It does. And the older you are, the more you realize just how fast it goes. When you're young, you think you got all the time in the world. But as you get older, you realize time goes by so fast, you wish you could slow it down. You wish you could stop it a little bit. And the children, that the day you saw them born, all of a sudden they're off to college. They're gone. They've got their own family. I mean, it just happens so fast. And so when we think about parents to children, they are unique and special, and we've been entrusted for a time with our children. The second application is, parents, do not frustrate our children. That's big. That's number two. We want them to grow. We want to learn to be loved and to be loved. And there's three things there, A, B, and C. A is that we want to show them love. And I think it's important. And you know, I've told you all this. There have been people come into my office, and they've never felt loved by their parents. Never. Now, the parents may have done the best they could do, but sometimes people come and they just don't feel love, and we want to show them as much love as we can. B is, do not place unreasonable demands on them. That's the idea of frustrating them. And you got to be careful, because we tend to do that. We want everything perfect. We want our children to do everything right. And we have to be careful to place these unreasonable demands. The third thing is, don't show favoritism. And it's easy to do that. So number one is, as parents, maybe view our children as gifts from God. Number two, parents, do not frustrate our children. Don't do that. And then three is, be positive examples for our children. We're going to see more of that even as we get into our study today, but be positive examples for our children. I mean, when they see us, that's who we want them to say, that's how I want to be. That's what I want to do. A is in our daily lifestyle. In our daily lifestyle, live by the Scripture. Our daily lifestyle, live by the Scripture. We want to be examples of people who live by the Word of God. And that's live out who we are. They want to see godly mamas and daddies so they can know how to live. And then B is, let them see us worship and serve God. Be a godly example in worship and service for God. I think it's important. You may not think they're looking at you, but they look at you. They know what you do. They know if you go to church. They know if you have quiet times. They know if you are serving God. They know if you're involved in a local body. They know what you do. Let me tell you this. I'm going to tell this to some. Do you realize that when some come to Awana, drop their children off and leave, their kids know that they don't stay? You know that. You may think it means nothing. It does. It means something. It means something. So you are an example to them of your worship and your service for Jesus Christ. So those three things. Parents, let's view our children as gifts from God. Let's don't frustrate our children, and let's be positive examples. And of course, we want to realize our children are gifts, and we want to train them up, and we want to be godly examples and all of those things. Okay, questions before we move into part two, which, if you remember, we started by showing, here's the negative things what the parents aren't supposed to do. We're fixing to get the positive in just a second. So if you want to, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're actually going to finish our study of family relationships. Now, we may not finish it today. We have to start just a little bit late today because we ran over a little bit in the first service. But we're looking at roles and responsibilities of those in the family unit. This is our last lesson. And Thanks, Rick, for handing all that out. Anybody needs any handouts, you just hold up your hand and Rick will bring it to you. But it's powerful because we're seeing the foundation of our lives. It's marriage and family. That's the first divine institution. It's the foundation of our society. The man and the woman coming together to form the family unit. Let me give you this is the outline of the study that we've seen these weeks. We've seen family relationships. We started with the introduction, and then we spent some time talking about marriage and the family as a whole. Then we spent some time on the role of the wife. It took us a long time, I think 3 to 4 weeks, to go through that one, the role of the wife. The role of the husband, of course, this took us about 15 minutes because men did not need a lot of help there because we just threw that so well. But anyway, we actually spent a long time on the role of the husband, and we could continue to go over that forever and we wouldn't get it. But the role of the husband, and then we spent some time looking at the role of children, what they're supposed to do, and now we're in the role of the parents. So those are the big four areas that we've been looking at, and we'll have this lesson and then sort of bring it together for a summary. But what are the parents to do? The head of the home is the father. Led by the father, how are the mother and the father to bring up the children? What are they to do? And we want to be encouraged as we look through this. Let me remind you of something. You know, you must have goals if you want to accomplish things in life. We know it's important. I mean, you know, sometimes people don't have any goals. When you think about sports or jobs or work and those kind of things, you have to have things that you're shooting for. It's very difficult to accomplish anything if you don't really plan to do it without goals. I've got a little statement there that says, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. That's Prof. Hendricks, and that's what he used to tell us. He says, there's so many people out there, they don't have any goals or plans. They just go through life, and when you get to the end, you say, what did you accomplish? And you say, well, nothing. Well, that's what you plan to accomplish, because you didn't plan to do anything. The most important area of our lives and our parents is this whole idea of our children. What are our goals for our children? And we may not get to it today, but if you were to turn to about the last page of this lesson, I've got 5 different things that we want to have as goals for our children, for us as parents to our children. We'll get to that. We probably won't get to it today. We'll get to it next time. But what do we want to accomplish? And so we're going to look at these things. Last week, we began looking at the importance of the role of parents. Now, listen to this. I had this as a quote, but I want you to think about it. It says, every Christian family has the potential for an eternal impact in countless lives. Are we living and acting now in the way that will influence our children and our children's children for Jesus Christ? Will they be able to have an impact on those around them? That's what you want. We've been looking at 3 key aspects, I think is the next one. We've been looking at our attitude toward our children. That was in last week's lesson. Our roles, what are we to be doing? That's the positive and the negative aspect. We got the negative last time. We'll get the positive this time. And then the goals. What should we aim for? And that's those 5 things we'll hit at the end. And we may not get to that today. If not, we'll get to it next week. But we saw attitude. And if you've got your sheet, we talked about attitude. And we said, number one, we need to see our children as gifts from the Lord. We need to see that. We need to see our children as something special given to us by God. We are entrusted with these children, given to them, given by God to them, that we're to train them to love, to provide, to protect. So that's our attitude. And we talked last week about some people who see children as a burden rather than a blessing. And we want to see them as a blessing. That's what we do. The second thing was we saw was the roles. And that's what are we to do as parents. I don't know if I have anything. Do I have something there? Do I have 2 parts? I can't even remember or not. We have negative and positive there? No, we don't. We don't. Okay, go back. What we saw last time is there are 2 aspects of the roles, the negative and the positive. And when we Ephesians chapter 6, and actually we had started at Colossians at 3, and then on Ephesians chapter 6, there is a negative and a positive. We started with the negative, and the negative was don't frustrate them. Don't make them angry. And we talked about that, and I mentioned it already. That's where you overprotect, or you show favoritism, or you don't have any boundaries, or you do all of this stuff. And what that leads to is that the children are frustrated. And so as parents, you don't want to frustrate them. In fact, Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And that was the negative. Now, the positive, and that's what we want to start this morning. The positive also, chapter 6, verse 4, has a contrast. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but. Whenever you see a but, usually in the Scripture, there's a contrast in some way. So a lot of times do that. Whenever you study the Bible, there are certain words. We call them connectives. If you've ever been with me when we taught how to study the Bible, we have a method we call historical, literal, grammatical interpretation of the Scripture, and we go observation, interpretation, application. And when we go in observation, we look at certain things and we look at certain connective words like but and if and because and as, and these words just sort of stand out that give you ideas. Well, in this passage, the but stands out by saying, here's the negative and here's the positive. Here's the contrast. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but here's the contrast. Don't provoke them to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so here's that contrast. And there are two things here, and I think that's the slide we have. Two aspects, discipline and instruction. Discipline means training. It even, the word discipline literally even means instructions, while the word instruction in the Greek means an admonition or encouragement. So it could be, he says, bring them up in the discipline and training and the encouragement of the Word of God. It is the parents' responsibility to train up their children. Now, a lot of people think it's the churches. I'm going to bring them to Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher will teach them, and I'll bring them to Awana, and the people will teach them in Awana, and I'll bring them on Wednesday night, and we have that study and the things for them, and they'll be taught, and then by the time they get into the youth group, it's the youth pastor's responsibility to teach them. And say, no, it's not. Now, we plan to teach children in Awana and Sunday school and Wednesday nights and all of those things and the youth and everything up, but it's primarily the responsibility of the parents to train up their children, to train them up. Notice it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up, train them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The word discipline means a training. It's the word that in some places he uses it to like develop an athlete. He says you train your life. It literally means to train up a child. Now, if you don't train them, somebody else is going to train them, by the way. Now, think about it. You might say, well, I'm just not going to get into all that. Well, if you don't train them, the ads will, the newspaper will, the press will, the movies will, the neighbors will, the politicians will. Somebody's going to train your children. They're going to be putting information in their mind. They're going to have the standards by which they're seeking to live, and they're going to give those to your children. If you don't train them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, they're going to get the world. There's two aspects. There's the training of the Lord, and there's the Word of God, and then there's the world. And the world is a fallen system. The Greek word is kosmos, which means an ordered system. God has an ordered system, but it's fallen. It's controlled by the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil. It is a fallen world system that is contrary to God. So if our children are not trained the things from God, they will be taught the things that are the opposite, which is the fallen world system. So we have to train them up. There was a time in our country, there was a time years back in which the basic rights and wrong were thought of as rights and wrong by the culture as a whole. It is not so that way anymore. The things that 30 years ago people would not talk about because they knew it was wrong is now not only said not to be wrong, but to be said, everybody has the right to do this or to do this or to do this. So our culture's changed. There was a time 30 to 40 years ago that the rights and wrongs of the Bible were the rights and the wrongs of the culture, but it's not that way now. So if we don't train them up, we got problems. What are we to do? I want you to just go back to Deuteronomy for just a second. It's the fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want you to see a little passage. We're not going to spend much time here. I just want you to see this passage. It's a famous passage. Jewish men would get up in the mornings, and this was called the Shema passage, because the word Shema in Hebrew means hear. This is the hear passage. They would say, Shema, Shema, O Israel, which is hear, O hear, O Lord, O hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. Deuteronomy 6:4 is the famous verse that he would start off with. The guy would stand up, and this would be the head of the home, and he would stand up, and in Deuteronomy 6:4, he'd say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is, the Lord is one. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. This is where we get this. You remember when they came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? They were trying to trick him. They figured, look, out of 613 commandments, whichever one he said was first, they would get on him about the others. And so he said, the first one is this, hear, O Lord, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all, and you know, love all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. They knew what he was talking about. Most men said that every morning. But then he said, but in the second is equal to it. He said, there's really not just one. There are two that are equal. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this passage takes us back and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. These words which I'm commanding you, they shall be on your heart. And then from that, look what he says. You shall teach them the truths about the Lord your God. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. And you shall talk with them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. He says, you shall teach your children. He's the idea of son here, but the idea is the family. We're to teach our children the word of God, the truths about God, the rights and wrongs, the principles and the truths. What is God like? Do we teach our children what God is like and what his character is like? And of course, in this passage, you know, he's saying, the Lord's your God. Teach him. Teach him when you sit down, when you stand up. It is not like, I'm going to sit down. Okay, I'm now going to proceed to teach you. No, it's a lifestyle teaching. It's as you get up and as you walk and as you talk and as you go through life. I remember I told Catherine and Sarah what the time, and I've told y'all this story, that I went to that ATM machine and I put the thing in there and I was going to get $20 out and they gave me $40. And I told them how I went in there and they gave me $40 instead of $20. And what was their question to me? No, they said, what did you do? That was the question. What did you do? I told them I took it to the bank. That's a teaching thing. Right? I said, one time I went to the ATM machine, it gave me too much money. And they were little, and they said, well, what did you do, Daddy? I said, I took it to the bank. Because what should you do if somebody gives you too much? What should you do if you went to the store and you gave them money for something and they gave you back too much change? What should you do? You're supposed to give it back. I can still remember when I was a boy, I was 12 years old, and this guy said, want to come work at a concession stand with me? I'd never worked a concession stand. I figured you'd see girls. I said, yeah, I'd like to go work in the concession stand. And so I'm back there, and the guy, this guy is, this man comes up and he orders, not a boy, this man comes up and he orders food. And he gives the money to me, but I didn't know, because another guy was getting the food, and I didn't know how much hot dogs he ordered. I thought he ordered like two, but he ordered four. So I gave him way too much change back. And just as I gave it to him, and he's taking it in his hand, and I'm looking at him, he realizes I've given him like way too much money back. And I saw that grin on his face like, I got extra money. And as a boy, I gave it to him. And just as soon as he took and looked and walked away like, I got this, I realized that I gave him too much money. And it hit me, this guy is taking that and he's not coming back. And I've never gotten over that. I thought that man was bad. And if I could find him, no, I wouldn't, but and then that belongs to the Lord. I'm sure that somewhere, someday, somebody took money from him. No, but anyway, isn't it amazing? All these things are teaching things. As you lie down, as you stand up, as you walk around, we're to teach our children. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Proverbs, and it talks, teach our children to live by the word of God. And we don't, it's not just a formal time. There may be formal times what you teach them and you talk to them. And when they go to a Sunday school class, or when you say, hey, here's something I wanted to show you. But it's, notice, as you sit, as you walk in the morning, in the evening, it's a lifestyle, how we live. Are we teaching our children truths from the Bible by us living out the truths in the Bible? Phone rings. Tell them I'm not here. Is that a lie? So you teach them to lie? You make them say, tell them I can't come. I can't come right this second. I got to do this. Just get a number. I'll call them right back. That's not a lie. But if you say, tell them I'm not here, that's a lie. Oh, it's not a big lie, though, because you don't want to talk to these people. It doesn't matter. It's okay to say I'm not here when you're there. It is not as do as I say and not as I do. Larry Crabb says this, children will reproduce what they see in us. If we believe that money and achievement bring significance, they will think the same thing. Wow. Our kids will depend on what we're depending on. Gary Oliver writes this. He says, children learn what they live. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and loves, he loves others. Train up our children. Deuteronomy goes way back, but it's a basic truth. Take the truth from the Word of God. Train up your children. Go back to Ephesians 6. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The word instruction there means admonition. It's the idea of encouragement, to show that's right and encourage them to do right. See, it's one thing, we have to not only teach them the rights and wrongs, but then we have to encourage them to do what's right and not do what's wrong. Encouragement means a lot. Listen to this. I know we only have about 5 minutes, but listen to this. Now, Jim Sundberg, some of you don't remember who he was. I'm older and I do remember him playing ball. He was a major league catcher and he was a great one. He said this. He said, my daddy told me all my life that I would be a major league catcher. He said, you're going to be one. You're going to make it. You're going to do it. You can do it, son. You just keep doing it. He said, I knew, my daddy believed I was going to be in the major leagues. And he was. Do we encourage our kids? You can do it. You can do math. I know you can do math. We'll help you. You're going to get good at that. You're good at this. You can do that. You can do it. Do we build them up? Bill Glass, he played with the Detroit Lions. I remember, you know, I was a little boy, he was a pro football player, and then he stopped and he started this prison ministry and he wrote a book called Get Into the Game. I thought it was great, you know, because it was from a sports analogy. He said that in prison, he asked 1,000 men in prison how many were told by their parents that they would end up in prison one day. He said, every hand went up. Every hand. You tell them they're going to go to prison, they'll go to prison. You tell them they're going to make it, they're going to make it. Are we building up and encouraging? Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification, that it may be for the need of the moment. Wow. Or to train them up, to encourage them. Negative, don't provoke. Positive, bring them up. In the training, the discipline of the Lord, I know time is up, so I want you to turn to Psalm 78 just for a second. Psalm 78. Look what he says, because this is a key. This is what we're supposed to do. And then next week we'll get a few things, and then we'll get into these goals that we're supposed to do. Look what this says. Psalm 78, verses 5, 6, and 7. Look what it says. It says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers. Now, he says he established a testimony and appointed a law. In other words, he gave them the truths of God's word. He said he gave them the word of God, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children. Now, the very first thing he says is he's commanded that we are to teach the fathers are to teach the word of God to their children. That's pretty powerful. And then it goes on to say that the generation to come, the next generation, might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children. That the generation to come, see, we not only train our children so that our children will turn around and be able to train their children. That's the plan. It's just like 2 Timothy 2:2. Take the things you've been taught in the presence of many witnesses and entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. The whole plan is we take what we've been taught, pass it on to others. They take what they've been taught, pass it on to others. Well, it happens that way in the family. It's the father's and mama's responsibility to train up these children and teach them the word of God so that they would be able to, in the generation to come, they might know even the children yet to be born. Now, what is it that we really want to teach them? Look at the next verse. That they should put their confidence in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. He's saying that our children would learn to trust God and to realize who he is, put their confidence in God. He is the creator, redeemer, sustainer, provider, protector. And don't forget the works of God and keep his commandments. Live by the scripture. We're to teach our children who God is and to live by the word. And then they turn around and teach their children who God is and live by the word. And they turn around and teach their children the same thing. It's an ongoing process. And it's really the family. I have had people say to me, I don't have anybody to disciple. I said, you got any kids? Yeah. You got two right there. They have to obey you.
See, we already, the whole discipleship plan begins in the family. We don't always think about it that way. We think it begins, okay, let me find a small group at church. Let me find somebody. That's fine, but you already got a small group. Small group is your family. Now, some have bigger small groups than others, but you've got a small group already. And you've got those that you are training and teaching who will be able one day to train and teach those who are in their small groups. And so it begins right here. I guess we could, I know the bell just rang, but how are we doing? We could stop and we say, you know what? I bet most of us say, I think I'm pretty much failed. Don't we all feel like failures a lot? But just ask God to give you the wisdom. And just to be faithful to do it the best you can with the time that you have. And we want to live in God's power and obey the Word of God so that by our words and by our deeds, we will be examples to our children. We'll stop because we've said so far two things. The attitude, they're gifts from God. The roles, both a negative and a positive. Next time, we'll finish this study because we're going to take some time to look at the goals. What do we want to see happen in our children's lives? What are the goals that we have? And remember, if you don't make any goals, don't worry, you'll hit it. Because that's just the way it is. But if you hit some, you make some goals, guess what? You'll hit those goals. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you as we think about this responsibility as parents. From the negative is not provoke them to anger and not frustrate them, but from the positive is to bring them up in the training, the admonition of the Lord, to teach them so they'll be able to teach on and to see our family as a small group that we can train and teach and help them grow and learn and be grounded in the truth so they can do the same thing. So we pray for the daddies and the mamas that, Lord, as we think about our lives and our children, that we'll do all that we can do. And Lord, it's never too late. And that we always love them, even if they're already grown by now. We love them. And yet, Lord, in the privilege and responsibility we have, we want them to understand who you are and to live by your word. Lord, would you use us as mamas and daddies to live it out and to teach it to our children so that they will not only see it and hear it, but then know it, live it out, and pass it on to their children. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege. Help us even next week as we see the goals and the things that you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.